We say this every time, and we mean it every time. Certainly true tonight. We're excited you're here. We're excited what God is doing in this place and what he's going to continue to do this semester. But it's especially exciting because it's a new year. And if you know me, you know that I love new things. They are a lot of fun to me. And it's a new year that I think that is exciting for you, mostly because we all are survivors of the Mayan apocalypse. You did it! Take that, ancient Mayans. Stick that in your craw of antiquity. So way to go on not dying. It's a new year, and all kinds of things happen. New semester, some of us here, the last semester, if you're a senior. And there's just something that is both amazing and terrifying about new stuff. I like it and hate it, and I don't know if you can like appreciate where I'm coming from there. Just new things come, with new things come, I don't know what to expect, right? Like uncertainty, stuff like that. And so my wife and I are experiencing newness. We bought a house just a few days ago. Yes, that's an appropriate amount of clapping. Just enough to be like, we're so sorry. 30 years of debt, congratulations. And it's new, but it's also terrifying because there's just many things about house buying that I am learning for the first time because it's new. One of the funny because I am like, I went to college, I consider myself intelligent, and there are words and phrases connected to this process that make me feel like a child. I just feel like the equivalent of a kid going into the gas station with like a handful of coins and just giving it to someone, what can I get? I don't know. And then like they're very patient and they're like, okay, well here's a quarter. This is a button. We'll put this over here. You can't use that. Okay, anything on this row you can buy. And like that's the experience that we're doing right now. Like, so we're having these meetings and they're like, so do you want to roll your first year of insurance into the escrow or you want to do, and I'm like, WWJD. They're like, what? I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Please help. But there's something exciting about new that's in the unknown, that's kind of a part of not being sure of what's going on. And so for a season, we feel like God is calling us as a community of the well into something new. And we don't know what it is. Hooray! And it's kind of like this interesting thing that we've been talking in well leadership and in my prayer life. I know for sure that God wants us to do something new. I don't know what it is. And so that's kind of terrifying. So one of the things that we're going to do this semester is we're just going to be in prayer for that. And I would love for you guys to join us in praying for that. God, what is it that you're calling us into, and how can we be faithful to step into those things? I've been in Proverbs 4 a lot over the last month, and Lindsay just read a portion of that passage, and I love it because it's all about a father telling his son how to kind of grow into the man that he's supposed to be becoming. And there's all this like wisdom and passing down of knowledge that happens. And the one thing is clear throughout the whole proverb is that the father wants the son to like step into the unknown wisely and to make good choices so that he can become the man that his father knows he can be. And so that kind of resonated with me a little bit about what this season is for us as a community. We have a father in heaven that is like encouraging us, cheering for us, inviting us into new things. And he's just kind of maybe giving us guidance and stuff like that along the way. So this semester, this is what we're doing. Two series, one before spring break and one after spring break, all about following the lead of people who have said yes to God's plan for them, even if they didn't know exactly what it meant. Okay, the first series that we're doing, that we're starting tonight, is called Following the Father. And it's a bit of a play on words because it's actually a study of the patriarchs that we see in the book of Genesis. And they kind of say yes to becoming a thing, even though they weren't before, even though they don't know what that looks like. So we're going to look at those people, and then after spring break, we're going to be in the book of Acts, and we're going to look at how the early church was called into existence, even though that wasn't a thing before. Okay, does that make sense? Just a couple nods of affirmation. Thank you. Okay. So let's jump in tonight. We're looking at the very first patriarch guy, and it's in the book of Genesis. So if you have your Bible with you, why don't you crack it open with me? If not, it's going to be on the screen behind me. We're going to be in Genesis 12. And this is the call of Abram, okay? This is God calling the very first dude who was Jewish into becoming a leader of a people and a movement of faith, okay? So let's read together. Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And then Abram set out and continued toward Negev. This passage has been giving me fits all week, and I'll tell you why. I've been praying and I've been preparing and I'm like, I'm so excited about this semester. I can't wait to see what you have in store for us, God. And I am so excited to get into this series and follow the faith of the fathers as they were following you into the unknown. It's just like, exciting, you know, and I was just getting jazzed about it. And then I was like reading and studying the passage and I was getting ready for this message tonight and I feel like I have nothing. Just like, I'm reading it, and I'm like, okay, it seems like God just says, go do this crazy thing, and Abram's like, okay, and then he just does it. The end. Have the band come back up. Let's go. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's just like, there's, what else is there? He just says, okay. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to give a poop and cheese sermon first way out. Like, let's really, I'm going to get into this. I'm going to study the Hebrew. I'm going to cross-reference and all this stuff. Everything that I'm studying to make this better makes it worse. Because everything that I'm learning just points out how crazy Abram is for saying yes. And that's just it. It's just, okay, let's break this down verse at a time. Verse one, leave your country, everything you have ever done and everything. And I'll show you the land eventually. There's no, like, this is where we're going. He's like, just leave everything, and we'll figure it out en route. Okay? And then I'll make you a great nation. Meow, meow, meow. Everything's going to be awesome. But, like, you're never going to see it. Okay? Abram, then they throw in this fun tidbit for you, people who are interested in details. Abram's 75 years old at the time. Abram has like a bunch of stuff. He's well off. He's accumulated many things. He's under his father's household. Okay, so that's good. So you're 75. You're set for life. You are called to go somewhere that you don't know yet. Yay. He says yes to it. And then, then he gets there and people live there. There are people there. God's like, here it is. Where all these people are? This is what you drug me out of my nursing home for? Like, this is, this. And Abram's just like, oh, sweet, let's build an altar. I want to worship you. So I did the reasonable thing, and I called my friend Bill, and I said, let's go to McDonald's and work this thing out. Is there anything more than this? And I'm talking to Bill, and I'm like, God says leave, Abraham says leave. Is that the whole? And Bill's like, yeah, that's it. Come on. We were in Old Testament together. And Bill's like, okay, here's the thing. And I was like, oh, thank you. Okay, here it is. This makes sense. Okay. This is the 12th chapter of the first book of the Bible. There's only 11 more chapters of history before that. This is a long time ago, okay? And this is in the ancient world, the very ancient world, the way that people thought about the divine was thus. There were a multitude of gods, and they were very, like, human. They were petty. They were angry. They had wars with one another. They, like, used to curse and kill human beings. And the ancients believed whenever famines came through, whenever drought came through, whenever people that they loved, passed away or got killed or anything like that, it was all the gods angrily punishing them for their existence, basically. So in the ancient world, whether it's in Greece, whether it's in Egypt, they have all these different rites and rituals of things that they're trying to do to constantly appease the gods that they believe are always mad at them. Okay? And here's Abram living in that worldview his whole life. And then God comes to him and he doesn't say, give me 3 cows sacrificed to me or I'm going to bust you in the head. Why would God is from West Virginia, apparently. I'm going to bust your head, boy. No, what God says to him is like, I want to bless you. And my blessing for you is so great that it's going to overflow and hit every nation in the world. That's a different message, right? That's a different message than, I'm so angry at you. I know you've been sinning. I know what you did over break. I know that you've not spent 4 hours a day every day in quiet time with me. That's not the message God has for his person, Abraham. What he has from right off the bat is, I love you so much, I'm going to bless your face off. It's going to roll on the ground. You're going to put it back on, blow the sand off it. That's how much I want to bless you. And it's kind of amazing. And it's like, yeah, I would say yes to that, right? Like, it makes more sense. I would say yes to that. If the God of the universe, and so I was thinking about it, and I was like, okay, who's the one person that if they come to your dorm tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., and like knock on your door, and you open up, and they're like, let's go hang out today, that you're like, okay, I'm doing it. Think about it, because I'm going to ask you, I'm going to call on people, you're going to tell me the names of these people. Who is the living person today that you would blow off class for, you blow off work, like you're just like, I'm hanging out with this person. You don't get to say Jesus because you'll ruin the end of my sermon, okay? Okay, hands in the air, I want to see some, let's do some response. Yeah, right here, Hefner, your brother. Is that the sweetest thing yet? Zach, if you're listening to this recording, your sister misses you very much. Okay, who else? Mayo. Ryan Otto. Everybody in Ireland. If you're in the continent of... Okay, no. A couple more. I was looking for more celebratorious... Okay. Mary Johnson. You're skipping class tomorrow to hang out with Mary Johnson. Okay, that's a good answer. Because no answers are bad, I guess. One more. Jake Ewing, please. Sufjan Stevens. What a weird, awesome guy. I would want to hang out with him. Tomorrow, my guy is Hulk Hogan. If tomorrow morning Hulk Hogan knocks on my door, is like, let's go, brother. Then I'm calling Dan up, and I'm like, Dan, I'm taking a personal day. Leah, I'll be back. And then just whatever the Hulkster wants to do, really. We could drive around town. If he wanted to go to the weight room, I'll just watch. Whatever, you know. But he was like my hero. I grew up in the early 90s, right? And he was like, you know, Hulkamania. And I would, even though he's like a dirty old man now and like he's divorced and like his life is shambles, I would still hang out with the Hulkster. And I would tell him I prayed and ate my vitamins today. That's what I would do. because there's something about just like, there are those people that come along that you're like, whatever you're doing, I'm in. And I think for us, the invitation before us is that that person has come and he has invited us, and it's Jesus. And you know, we read this story of Abram and we're like, whoa, this is completely off the wall. God comes out of nowhere, calls this guy to give up his whole life to follow him. That's like a one in a million. No. Jesus, if you read the call of the disciples of Christ, they're all pretty much like that. They're like cleaning nets or like working at a tax booth. And he just comes along and he's like, let's go. And they just like drop everything and they're all in. I love the story of Nathanael, the calling of Nathanael in John 1. My name's partly because of that. But in John 1, it says this. Jesus calls Philip to follow him, and Philip's like, this is awesome. I'm going to go tell Nate. And so Philip goes and talks to Nathanael, and he goes, dude, we found him, the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. He's amazing. It's exactly who the prophet said he was going to be. And Nathanael is like, Nazareth? That's the armpit of Galilee. Nothing good comes from there. Only like sewage and snooky come from that place. It's the worst thing. That's rude to sewage. No, come on. I'm sorry, snooky. I don't even, in my life have never used snooky as a reference on anything. Dave Sherwood did it to me. That's always his go-to analogy on Sundays. So Nathan's like, yeah, I'm not buying into this. And Philip's like, well, just come and see the guy, and I think you'll be a believer. And Nathanael's like, cool. So Nathanael goes, and Jesus says, hey, here's a true Israelite in whom nothing is false. And Nathanael says, how do you know me? And Jesus goes, oh, I saw you under a fig tree before Philip came and talked to you. And Nathanael goes, you're the Son of God. Awesome. Like, binoculars can convince people in the ancient times that you're God. But I feel like in any time in Scripture, this is an appropriate time that Jesus might have laughed at somebody's face. And it doesn't say this in the Scriptures, but Jesus' response to Nathanael is this. You believe that I'm the Son of God because I saw you under a fig tree. You are going to see way cooler stuff than that. And I'm like, that's faith, right? God calls us to leave everything, and some crazy like thing that means something to me, and I'm like, somehow I'm able to say, okay, I'm all in. Like, I'll follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. And I feel like Jesus is like, oh my gosh, you have seen nothing yet compared to what I have for you. And so the story of Abram is like that. I think, you know, Abram, in the life of comfort and old age, is called to something new. And Abram, for whatever reason, he believes God is really inviting him into something. He just says yes. And I think that is the long and short of it, of what we wanted to share tonight, was just, I believe God is calling us as a group and you as a person into something new. And I just want you to say yes. Even if you don't know what it is, even if you don't know how you're going to get there, I just want you to say yes. Because this God does not go back on his promises. And just like God promised Abram, I'm going to bless you. Nations are going to come to know me because of you. Jesus gives us promises too, right? I'll never leave or forsake you. If you have a faith the size of a mustard seed, you will see mountains move before you because of me. And so here's the invitation tonight for us to kind of say yes to Jesus. Even if it gets in the way of your plans, even if it like messes you up and puts you in a completely different direction, just say yes anyway. Because the God of the universe is knocking on your door and saying, let's hang out. And if I'm going to say yes for Hulk Hogan, Jesus is going to be wicked pissed if I don't say yes for him. Okay? I think. I don't know. So this is what I want us to do for the rest of the night. I am going to have the band come back up. And what we want to do is we just want to create some space for you to have some silence so you can just pray to God and you can connect with him and you can say, these are the two questions I want you to place before the Lord and see if he connects with you and talks to you. The first question is this, what are you calling me to leave? And the second question is this, what are you calling me to follow? Where am I going? Where do you want me to follow you, okay? So what should I leave and where should I go? We're just going to play. We're going to sing. We're going to give you space to pray and connect with God. Then, after we do that, after the song is over, we're going to give you time and space to do our favorite thing at the well, which is triangle prayer. Hooray, triangle prayer. Okay, and if you don't know what triangle prayer is because you're new here or whatever, triangle prayer is exactly what it sounds like. You just find two people around you, whether you know them or not, and you say, we want to pray together, okay? And when you pray together, I want you to say this. I want you to say to a person, how can I help you get where God wants you to go? Because that's what community does, right? Like, I recognize in myself that I don't know what I'm doing or where I'm going, but Jesus has invited me to follow him. And I need a community to come around me to say, how can we help you get there? So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to give you time to pray. We're going to give you space to connect with God. Where are you calling me to leave? Where are you calling me to go? And then we're going to pray for one another. We're just going to connect and say, hey, I want to help you get to where God is leading you, because I think that is a fantastic place to be. In addition to that, we have anointing oil up here and up here and little McDonald's ketchup cups. That's what we did while we were at McDonald's. I got these ketchup cups. And this is what we're going to do. In the scriptures, just because we're like going flat out weird tonight, we felt like to go for it the whole way. In the scriptures, we see time and time again that anointing oil is something that people use just to bless people on a journey, okay? And so if you feel like, hey, God's calling me into something, we want you to just have an opportunity to bless one another and say, bless you for the journey. Now, these things are usually like sacraments that are led by priests, but this is what we believe strongly at the well. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, then you are a priest. You're part of the priesthood of all believers, okay? And you are qualified because the Holy Spirit indwells you to bless others in the name of Jesus, okay? So about the logistics of it, it's easy. You've seen The Lion King, right? You stick a thumb in, Hasante Sana, on the forehead, and then they're good, okay? And then you pray for them. So that's an available option up here if you want. You don't have to do it. Why wouldn't you want to Hasante Sana someone? That's up to you. But I want us to bless one another. I want us to bless one another for the journey, because I believe that God is in fact calling us into something. And I think that it's going to take a community to help shepherd us and herd us and hold us accountable to saying yes to the invitation that God has placed before us. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's pray. Lord, I am thankful for this group of people. I'm thankful that you continue to stretch us, to lead us in places that we often don't know how to go or how to get there. And tonight, I just simply pray that you would open up our hearts to you, that the Spirit would begin to move and convict us and lead us and guide us and nudge us, and that we would hear from you and that we would say yes. However crazy, however insane the invitation that you've laid before us, we'll just say yes, that we would have the faith of Abram, that we would have a boldness of Nathaniel to go and check out what it is that you're inviting us to. So just in this time, we just pray that you would speak, that you would not be silent. If there's some place you want us to leave, that you would tell us. If there's some place you want us to go, that you would tell us. And that we would have the courage and the faith to say yes to you. Bless our time. May we minister to one another. In Jesus' name.